Until a few years ago, Barbara Bacchus probably wasn't someone you'd ever heard about. But that changed with the publication of the Heart Score, arguably one of, if not the most impactful decision instruments to hit emergency departments across the planet in several years.
We've talked quite a bit about the Heart Score since it first hit the scene, and we've got lots of opinions on how we should be using it and about the limitations. But this time, we're going directly to the source, the person who is probably the most associated with this score, and we're going to get the real nitty-gritty. As a quick reminder, the Heart Score has five pieces: history, EKG, age, risk factors, and troponin level. Those five things make up the acronym HEART, and the idea here originally came from one of Barbara's colleagues, Jacob Six. These were the five things he was using along with a 0, 1, and 2 point scale for each factor, similar to an Apgar score. Barbara's role was in taking the score and going out and getting data on how it performed.
We were just two very enthusiastic colleagues, and we jumped in our car on a Sunday morning, drove to the hospital where Jacob was working at, and we started evaluating the first 120 patients with chest pain who presented in his hospital in the first 3 months of that year.
Over that 3 months, over 120 patients, Jacob and Barbara found that the Heart Score
has a very high diagnostic accuracy of predicting MACE in patients with chest pain at the emergency department. And after this first validation study, we performed a multi-center validation study retrospectively and afterwards, a prospective validation study. And the results of these studies were exactly the same as the first pilot study we performed.
What was the thing that shocked you as far as the predictive ability of the Heart Score?
I think the biggest strength of the Heart Score is that it's capable of identifying patients at both ends of the spectrum. Heart can identify perfectly low-risk patients as well as high-risk patients for an acute coronary syndrome. And this is a lot different than the previous systems like the TIMI and the GRACE score, who were better in identifying patients with acute coronary syndrome or non-STEMI, but not excluding patients with an acute coronary syndrome. So I think that the biggest strength of the Heart Score is the fact that it can identify with a very high accuracy patients that have a low risk and are suitable for discharge from the emergency department.
There's a few aspects of the Heart Score that are kind of confusing and make people uncomfortable. That is troponin and EKG changes. And what I mean by that is that a patient can have an elevated troponin. They can have an elevated troponin greater than 2 times the normal range and still have a low risk score, still low risk for MACE. Or they can have significant ST depression and still have a low risk score. So some have taken to calling it the HAR score, H-A-R, meaning that if there's a troponin bump or there's an EKG change, even if the score is low, people are uncomfortable calling that cohort low risk.
First of all, I think it is very important to realize and state that HEART, just as any other risk score, can never replace our clinical thinking and clinical reasoning from the physician. HEART was meant as a guidance to give the physician direction in the broad selection of chest pain patients. And with over 10,000 of patients scored in several validation and implementation studies, we never had the exception of a patient with a HEART score of 2 based solely on an elevated troponin.
This is such an important point. Across multiple studies, ones done with researchers independent from Barbara's group, there weren't patients who only got points for an elevated troponin. If they had an elevated troponin, something else on the HEART score was also positive, pushing them out of that low-risk category.
But secondly, when a patient has a very clear ST segment elevation or depression, it is also the role of the treating physician to have a careful look at these patients and, if needed, even overrule the heart score. To my opinion, this is no different than if a patient with a low heart score has a high suspicion of, for example, pulmonary embolism. Such patient will not be sent home from the emergency department without treatment. In the States, Simon Mahler has did some awesome studies on the heart score and especially the heart pathway, in which he includes a heart with two sets of troponin. And the way Simon uses the heart pathway is that patients presenting with clear ST segment deviation are excluded from the pathway.
Another area of confusion or criticism, and this is probably the biggest one, is the presence of risk factors in the score. The presence of having several risk factors or baseline characteristics carries as much weight as a positive biomarker, carries as much weight as EKG changes. So how did risk factors go on to take this much importance in the score? And taking it further, how did they get in there in the first place?
The heart score was based on clinical experience or expert opinion. And when evaluating a patient with chest pain, every physician does not only take into account the history of the patient, EKG changes, and troponin levels, but we also look at the age of the patient and their cardiovascular risk profile. Since Jacob and I made no difference in importance of the five elements, the risk factors get the same value as the other four elements. Later on, when we had done our three validation studies, we also performed regression analysis on our multicenter validation study. And we actually found that age and risk factors are, so to say, the weaker elements of the heart score.
Taking that information from the regression analysis, the group looked at placing different weight on different factors. Basically, a positive troponin would count for more points than positive risk factors, but this alteration didn't impact the risk stratification and had no impact on the real-life application of the heart score, except to make it more complicated and less user-friendly. This doesn't mean that risk factors aren't important. Barbara sees it quite differently.
The higher your cardiovascular risk profile, the more prone you are developing coronary artery disease and the more prone you are for an acute coronary syndrome. So to my opinion, the cardiovascular risk factors are actually an important element of your chest pain evaluation and of the heart score.
You're working in an ED and also in a country that uses a single high sensitivity troponin. It seems to me that using that high sensitivity troponin assay allows you to complete all elements of the heart score really quickly, within minutes. I mean, certainly less than an hour. Is that how it actually works in a real ED that uses a high sensitivity troponin in and out less than an hour if it's a low score?
I wish, Rob, I wish. Unfortunately, even in the Netherlands, a patient with chest pain will still occupy a room at the emergency department for approximately 2.5 hours.
That's how long it takes to get to triage, get the EKG, get the labs resulted. And that's just for a single troponin evaluation. Although the heart score studies looked at single troponin values irrespective of the onset of symptoms, Barbara has found that many of the docs still wanted to get a second troponin spaced apart in time, particularly if the patient presented soon after the onset of symptoms. However, it's important to point out that this is not how the original study functioned. The original work found that a low heart score, regardless of time of onset, indicated a very low-risk chest pain group for ACS at 30 days.
So even the heart score has shown its success and diagnostic accuracy, even with one high-sensitive troponin sample, it highly depends on the treating physician if they would discharge the patient based on that single troponin assay. If I have a low heart score with a negative troponin and no second thoughts, I do discharge them from the emergency department. And currently, there actually are a few studies with a heart score and a point-of-care troponin. One is being performed in the Netherlands and one is developed between the Netherlands and the UK. And actually, I really hope that these studies and the results of these studies might show that we can speed up decision making and discharge if we perform HART with a point of care high sensitive troponin.
What do you do if the troponin is elevated, but everything else looks okay? Do you get a less sensitive but more specific troponin assay as a follow-up?
I actually never had a case with only an elevated troponin. Usually these patients present with, for example, one or two risk factors. They might be a little bit older and have at least a moderate suspicious history. So they would end up with a HART score of 4. And if the troponin is slightly elevated, I would repeat the troponin assay after 2 or 3 hours and then decide from there.
You recently published a paper along with a whole lot of other authors, and it was titled Effect of Using the HART Score in Patients with Chest Pain in the Emergency Department. And it looked at something that we really want to know. Is HART better than just doing what we would do without the HART Score? Do patients do better? Is there better stewardship of healthcare resources? So to set this up, in this study, there were over 3,600 patients. Half got usual care, which was defined as daily practice of an attending physician to evaluate patients with chest pain, and they could not use the HART score. The other half of the patients had their care guided by formal calculation of the HART score. What did you find?
We were hoping that we could show that using the HART score would clearly diminish the use of healthcare resources and admission rates. Unfortunately, we did not show a major difference between HART care and usual care in the use of healthcare resources. There was a small decrease in exercise EKG testing, but we did not show a decrease in admission rate or healthcare costs. The reason why we did not find a decrease in cost is probably due to the hesitance of physicians to discharge low-risk patients from the emergency department without further testing. The reasons for this non-adherence to the protocol were actually either intuition of the treating physician, but they were also money-driven, because a patient that will be admitted to the cardiology ward, well, cardiologists get paid a lot more for these patients and these chest pain evaluation than if they would be sent home from the emergency department straight away.
As always, there are factors outside of the instrument, outside of the medicine, that drive workups and admissions, and it's hard to take all of that into account. Barbara notes that the study was performed between 2013 and 2014, when there was considerably less data on the outcomes after applying the HART score, and that if the study was repeated now, providers may be more embracing of discharging home with a low HART score. However, we also have to acknowledge the fact that most providers are going to have incorporated the HART score into their clinical assessment, whether they use it implicitly or not. And that means that it would be even harder to separate our overall judgment from the HART score. Despite all of this, there's still hope.
Simon Mahler, as mentioned before, he also performed an implementation study on the HART score. And this was a single center study in the United States.
That study was the HART Pathway Randomized Trial, identifying emergency department patients with acute chest pain for early discharge in a circulation subjournal, Cardiovascular Quality Outcomes, in 2015.
And his results are very good. He showed that implementing the HART score significantly reduced the length of stay at the emergency department, the cost of chest pain evaluation, and the admission rate. And their adherence to the protocol was perfect, showing how in a single center with all physicians on board, HART has a major impact on daily practice and the use of healthcare resources and costs. So I think that both implementation studies highly support the use of the HART score, and that now we just have to feel confident using the HART score and base our decisions on the result of the initial HART score evaluation at the emergency department.
Straight from the source, some of the down low on the HART score. Barbara's work, much of which she did before she was even an EM resident with no funding, is helping change the way we look at low-risk chest pain. The combination of our understanding of who is low risk and how to make that assessment, along with the shared decision making, how to have this conversation with the patient has a real potential to decrease resource utilization, if we let it. Now it's up to us to apply this data to the patients we see every day.